Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here for another episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Now, I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning, and I can say that I had a decent night's sleep. However, I am still in so much pain. Now, today's topic is entitled Being Independent. Now, in a few days, we will be celebrating the 4th of July. Such has 244 years of tradition behind it. And we talk about tradition, a lot of times people do a lot of different celebrations. They have barbecues, they do fireworks, they have spent time to spend with family, and, you know, they do a lot of different things. Now, it is also considered to be one of the most cherished holidays. Many call such Independence Day. However, what does independence mean to you? Now, as a society, we have become very reliant on other people, and becoming independent is so important as we grow, not only as a nation, but as a person within ourselves. So today, I want you to listen, get ready, because we're going to be talking about a lot of different things as we talk about being independent. So let me log on, Miss Amy. Hello, Miss Amy. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
You know what, Amy? It's interesting because I've been doing my best to be independent, and I'm starting to feel like I'm kind of handicapped right about now because I'm still in a lot of pain. And then when I went next door to go see if I could get somebody to do my Facebook Live, I didn't have nobody to help me, so I had to be independent and do it myself. And then as I was doing it, my phone wanted to ring. So I'm just like, I am really all over the place. It's kind of like I remember being a kid and an older seasoned individuals used to talk about thanking God for the activity of their limbs. I know what that means now. I really do. So we talk about being independent. First, I'm going to ask you, Amy, how are you going to be celebrating the 4th of July?
I'm just going down the beach and then going to probably have a barbecue and watch the fireworks.
Oh, okay. You know what? And it's interesting because when we talk about this celebration and being independent and an accomplishment, and, you know, and a lot of things when we start talking about that, because this is one of those topics that can be very controversial, because I was doing some research, Amy, and I was looking at it in regards to, we talk about Independence Day and signing a declaration of the Constitution and all this other mess, and, you know, a lot of people don't even realize or understand the history that even goes along with the 4th of July. We just basically want to just party. We just want to have a good time, which kind of goes back to independence and why it's so important. So before we even start with just the other types of independence, I want to quiz you or bring up some things that I found. And it talked about 10 things that you didn't know about the 4th of July. And when I was looking at this, do you know, Amy, it indicated that the Declaration of Independence wasn't even signed on the 4th of July at all? Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that.
I didn't. I guess that's what I get for going to school in Compton, huh? Now, they told us all these different stories that it wasn't even signed on the 4th of July. Now, in any case, that it might, you know, seem like it's kind of ironic because people was told that. But if that's the case, Amy, why do we celebrate it on the 4th of July?
I don't know the reason why we celebrate on the 4th. I can't remember.
Because it indicated that when we're talking about Congress, Congress officially voted for independence on July 2nd. That was a day that Adam thought it should be celebrated. But somehow we came with the 4th. Did you know that the first celebrations weren't much different than they are today? Because today they still do things the same way they did many, 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 many years ago. Another thing is, they talked about eating salmon on the 4th of July as a tradition in New England. We want barbecue ribs. I can't imagine trying to eat some salmon.
But we are still eating. I mean, the holiday
And you know what? And I'm going to say this. Because some of my friends now, I noticed that they do barbecue salmon or they'll put salmon on a grill. Where before, we didn't see salmon. We didn't even eat salmon. Another thing they talked about is Massachusetts was the first state to recognize the holiday. And Massachusetts recognized the 4th of July as the official holiday on July 3rd in 1781, making it the first state to do so. And it wasn't until June 28th of 1870 that Congress decided to start delegating or designating the federal holiday, and was, you know, when they started talking about that. Another thing, the oldest annual 4th of July celebration is held in Rhode Island. Did you know that, Amy?
I didn't, but isn't it, I know they went over the contract, like they agreed on it on July 2nd, but it wasn't finalized until the 4th,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
and,
I believe
and
so.
And then didn't two of them die on the 4th?
Yeah,
not that
they
year,
said,
but later on?
They said that they had two presidents that had passed, and, you know, there was a lot going on. Another thing that they talk about in here, they said the shortest 4th of July parade was in California. And there are around 15,000 Independence Day fireworks celebration every year. And we eat an obscene amount of hot dogs. I guess that's just the American way with the hot dogs. And we'll spend billions of dollars on food trying to prepare for the 4th of July. Now, I can say I had already bought my ribs when they was already on sale, so I don't have to go out and do a whole lot of grocery shopping. And what you were talking about in regards to three presidents died and one was born on the 4th of July. And let me see, what other information can I come up with? That's basically about it. So those were some of the things, Amy, that a lot of people probably didn't know. So if you want to join in on...
It's funny because when people come to visit, they don't understand 4th of July. Or like when you go to other countries, you know, for the summer, you're like, oh, it's 4th of July. People forget that that's a United States holiday. They end up being a different day.
You know what, Amy? And that is so true because I think one year, I want to say Keisha was either in London. I know she was either in Italy, London. She was somewhere overseas. And she forgot all about the 4th of July because they wasn't celebrating the 4th of July over there. And that is so, so true because that is a holiday that we particularly celebrate over here. Now, when we talk about independent and the importance of being independent, you know, when we think of free at last and I'm free, why are so many people still in bondage or still have that mindset that they cannot function independently? That's one of the things that I wanted to change the topic, Amy, and talk about, because we start talking about, as a society, we are very reliant on other people, whether it's going out in public or financial state or relationship status. We depend on people all the time. What do you think when we talk about being independent mean in regards to just dealing with people or human beings?
I think a lot of it has to do with thinking independently and not...
Mm-hmm.
Like depending on somebody, not being codependent, like
mm-hmm.
being able to make your own decisions, being able to live on your own. I know, like on Saturday, you mentioned financially, mentally, spiritually. It's all these things all make who we are. So
mm-hmm.
we have to be able to be independent to fulfill our lives, in my opinion.
That is true. And, you know, Amy, and a lot of times individuals are afraid. Even when we talked about, you know, when I was reading something before years ago, and they were talking about Harriet Tubman freeing the slaves and all of this stuff and how people didn't want to be freed. A lot of people don't want to be independent. I remember Tisha told me a long time ago, Mom, I never said I want to be grown, you know. And that is true because with being independent sometimes comes responsibilities. And a lot of times individuals try to shy away from that. And, you know, we've gotten to the point to where sometimes we become so comfortable in what we're doing, we don't want to do things that's separate or, you know, being different or being responsible or being held accountable.
I agree.
Now,
and I think, like, there's a lot of reasons to, like, there's benefits of being independent. It's not
correct.
Just because we should be, but there's a lot of benefits to it. Like, you know, your confidence, you're not going to rely on your, you know, you can't blame other people for where you are in life. You just take responsibility for it. You're able to be successful. I think those are all important to realize, that there's benefits to being independent, not just that it's required.
Correct. And, you know, Amy, if we're not talking about being so independent to the point to where you let your pride be your downfall, you know, or like I said, because I'm one, I do not like asking people to do things for me because I don't like being told no. You should have saw the look on my face when that lady told me, I can't do it right now. I just walked out the door like I do it myself. You know, because normally I get somebody over next door to help me with my Facebook Live before I go on the air. So the lady that normally helps me was not over there, and I know they got other things they need to do besides trying to help me with my stuff, but I don't like being told no. So that's why I don't like asking people for stuff. So I figured I'd do it myself. I figure it out. So when we start talking about independence, now you and I are both therapists. And even in the field of therapy, we try to teach autonomy. We try to teach individuals to be self-reliant, self-assured, things of that nature. And a lot of times, Amy, it seems like people don't realize that this is something that needs to be taught at a very, very young age, especially even when we're talking about kids. What do you think about that?
Oh, you just read my mind. Kids, like, they develop autonomy between the ages of 3 and 5. And that's when, you know, they dress themselves and they walk out of the house in these crazy outfits that just make you cringe sometimes, especially if you have OCD. But that's all important for their healthy development and will help them long term, is allowing them to make these choices, even if they are outrageous. You know, you can guide them in the right direction, like, you know, wearing a bathing suit to school. It's not really acceptable, but they could wear it at home when they get home. Like, but you can't, telling them no is going to ruin their confidence long-term when it comes to the autonomy development.
Correct. And, you know, and even when we're talking about kids and doing their homework, you know, a lot of times they tell me, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. And it's okay to guide them, but we do want them to strive to be able to do things on their own, and not to the point to where they feel alone, but to where they at least try. Because one of the things that we're seeing, especially even with teenagers, and teenagers, you know, they have the attitude as if they're independent, and a lot of them, you know, some of them are very responsible, some of them are very accountable, but then yet there's still a lot of parents that struggle, especially when it comes to their teenagers, and they find the connection between their being independent and their own form or sense of happiness.
Yeah, and like, I mean, like, even like 2-year-olds, you know, when they're trying to feed themselves and allow them to try and do it, you know, encourage spoons and forks and all that's going to lead into their teenage years and trying things before asking for help, you know, or looking for something. I know I still struggle when someone tells me to go get something, you know, I can't find it, it's right in front of my face.
Wow, my mother used to do that to me. My mother would tell me to go look for something. I'd be like, I don't know where it is. I didn't go look, you know. So, but the thing is, like I said, we just basically need to do better with that. Now, another thing we're talking about, and let's talk about teenagers a little bit, and the freedom. And we want to make sure that when we are teaching individuals to become independent and we're giving them the freedom, that it is within limits. Because we don't want to give them way too much leeway, because they can go in a whole different direction. But the freedom within limits, and one of the ways that they look at this, they have a book out called The Self-Driven Child. And it is to, you know, hands-on in regards to decision-making and teaching individuals to be over their own, the teen's lives. Now, when parents talking about, oh, my God, I got to take a breath, I don't know what's going on, but letting teens become the decision maker doesn't mean that they'll become permissive, indulgent, or disengaged parents. What happens is they've shown that being authoritative or parenting is good for teens' health and well-being, because when you're teaching kids to think on their own, and I found that a lot of kids that are teenagers that strive to be independent, they have less problems in school with gangs, peer pressure, and all of that. What is your comment in regards to that?
Just to go along with what you're saying, it allows them to discover their own path, but they can come to you and ask questions. You know, like, you can give them your guidance. Instead of saying, because I said so, tell them why it would be a bad decision or what may come out of it. Or your personal experience from that situation, but if they're going to do it, if they want to do it, they're going to do it. So it's just guidance. You have to have that guidance and that insight and that communication, because that's where it's going to come down to.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, Amy, because when I was a kid growing up, because I said so, it didn't make sense to me. I was like, what do you mean because you said so? You know, because I said so. I did not like because I said so. Now, we talk about not only with teenagers and young adults and trying to be independent, and like I said, it starts at a very, very young age in regards to what does being independent mean. And it actually means being able to take care of your own needs and to make and assume responsibilities for your decisions while considering both the people around you and your environment. Because a lot of times individuals think that being independent means you're just going to be selfish and it's all about you. And that's not true. It's basically taking the responsibilities for your decision and considering other people around you and your environment. And even when we start talking about kids and starting at a very, very young age, because in children, this starts as soon as they begin to crawl, walk, you know, they start exploring things. And we always say, oh, they're very independent or they like doing things on their own. But then they start telling you what they want, but you got to have that balance. You want to make sure that we have intellectual independence, social and emotional and moral independence. And those are some things, Amy, that a lot of individuals, we don't even pay no attention to that. It's like, what is emotional independence? What is moral independence? I used to say I'm too old for peer pressure. What is your take on the intellectual independence, social, emotional, and moral independence? Have you ever even heard of those words or terms?
I mean, mental independence and moral independence is just kind of, you know, discovering the world and hearing, you know, making decisions and seeing how the world works. When someone makes all the decisions for you and then you're put in this situation, you're going to go with the majority or peer pressure. Mm-hmm. It's going to be more likely you're going to cave for peer pressure if someone's always made the decisions for you. So, like for kids, you know, when you're struggling with the autonomy, you're like, all right, I'm going to let them make a decision. What do you want for dinner? And they say pizza or candy, and you say no, well, you just ask them what they wanted. So you have to make it more like, do you want, you know, salad or, I don't know, pasta? You know, it has to be one or the other, and then they can make the decision. Because you're still encouraging that sense of autonomy, but they don't have the full control. Does that make sense?
Correct. And you know what, and that's true, Amy, because a lot of times when we start talking about with kids and kids throwing temper tantrums and, you know, what they want, but by that same token, again, it all comes with balance, it all comes with guidance, and a lot of times individuals and parents don't know how to balance that out or what to do. Now, and this carries over into our adulthood and just even being an adult, and we'll go into relationships, and we'll talk a little bit about financial and financial wealth. But I have some information, and it talks about 8 important reasons why you should be more independent. Now, we naturally become independent as we progress through life. We move away from our parents and any bond that once sustains us from our childhood are slowly diminished as we move into what they call the real world. Some people, however, form a set of new bonds as they move from home, and they actually grow to be truly independent. Now, there are many reasons why we should be more independent. And some of the things that they indicate, and you kind of spoke on this a little bit, Amy, is personal independence boosts your self-confidence. When you know you've done something on your own and you're proud of what you've done, it will boost your confidence. Now, I'm going to put a little plug out there because I know people have been telling me to write books and I have all these stories I got to tell. And people, you know, you can tell when a person is lying when their story changes, but my story still be the same when I'm doing my groups. But I finally wrote the chapter for the book, and there's going to be a book signing on July 20th. And I'm very proud of that because I'm talking about mother-daughter relationship, and part of that was striving for my own independence. But when we start talking about independent people and being more confident, that is something that, you know, Amy, we get a lot of phone calls. People talk about they're depressed, they have anxiety. But when you have that confidence in yourself, it can also play or have a real tremendous role in one's mental health, because independent people naturally tend to be a little more confident in handling issues affecting their lives, and this is mainly because they are more prepared to take actions and do things without having to wait for support or permission from someone else. And being independent means that you will be more likely to try new things that you want rather than what or how you are expected to. This also means that you have more experience than a less independent individual. And this in time will build up your confidence in you with your knowledge that you can do things on your own. Any comments, Amy?
No, I think, I mean, that's the whole point of this, is to be able to do things on your own, you know, but you also have to have a balance. You don't want to be too independent, like you mentioned earlier. Like, I know I can hang things on the wall and change a tire and change my oil, but when I ask for help, it makes, like, my boyfriend feel good, you know, or, like, leaning on people makes them feel they're appreciated and needed, and that's important,
right,
too. So you have to have that balance, like you mentioned earlier.
You do. You got to have a balance because you don't want your pride to get in your way, but you do want to strive to be more independent and free. Now, we have a caller on the line. Let me log on this caller and see what they want to add to the show. Good afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney, number ended in 06. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Okay. Do you want to add anything? You have any questions? It sounds like Michelle. You want to ask, you have any questions you want or things you want to share in regards to being independent?
Well, I think it's awesome that she shared that, because these last 5 months I've been, you know, dealing with my brother, and because ever since he got into an accident, like 13 years or whatever, maybe 14 years, you know, now I trade him, I'm trying to do better and like stuff like that, but I just now turned it on, so I didn't really exactly know what you were talking about, except the few words that girl shared.
Okay, no problem. Okay, another thing, Amy, when we're talking about the 8 reasons to be more independent, 2, less reliance on others. Less independent individuals tend to rely so much on others. This may be because they do not want to have to make choices for themselves, or they feel too shy to go through the challenges in their life without someone on their side. This character makes you appear overly needy. Being a little more independent will be much appreciated by people, and they will be willing to come to you for help. Being needed or relied upon is what many crave for. This will add some value on you and make you feel important. You know, like I said, Amy, you know from being around me, I'm like, okay, I try to do as much as I can, but then it doesn't mean that you don't have to delegate things, but you don't want to be too reliant on other people, because I know with me, I don't like being disappointed. I don't like rejection. I don't like none of that. So, but by that same token, if you don't set yourself up for that and you try to do as much as you can, that kind of help you become less reliant on others. Any comments in regards to that one, Amy?
I know you need to get better at asking people for help.
I
that
know.
Is a fact. That
I know.
Is absolutely fact.
Yeah.
That just makes me laugh. No, I just think that, just thinking about that now. No, we want to be able to be independent and make our own decisions and not rely on other people, because that's when we get codependency, and we get a lot of clients with codependency issues. You know, even when you're in a relationship for long term and you get comfortable, you start to just become too dependent on that person. You lose your self sense of independence. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're in a relationship now, and yeah, there's two people, but you should still feel independent. You know, being able to go out without your friends or have some lunch with somebody, and or being confident enough that independent in yourself enough to know that your partner's not out doing other things. I think that all kind of ties together with not depending on other people, and we get a lot of clients like that.
True. And you know what? And I know, and a lot of people may not realize this because it started in childhood, but I know I grew up in a home where my mother had high expectations. And even when I would try to pretend like I couldn't do nothing, and then even with my daughter, you know, she'll say, figure it out, figure it out. So I'm still trying to figure it out, whether I messed up or whatever. At least I tried. But you're absolutely right. I do need to learn how to delegate things. I need to learn how to, you know, pass things down. And I've gotten better, which is being quiet. I don't tell people everything I know. I just shut up and, you know, and just be like, okay. Now, the next one is emotional independence. Amy, that reduces stress and promotes happiness when you are emotionally independent, because being emotionally dependent means that you can make the most of your personal decisions and go through life challenges or situations without necessarily dragging other people into it. A lot of times individuals, they already know what they go do before they do it. They just want confirmation or they want somebody to side with them. But by that same token, more emotional independence can also mean less suffering and disappointment since you don't depend on others to meet your emotional needs. I always tell people happiness is a choice. And if you're angry or if you're letting people upset you, you just don't have to engage in it. Now, it is good to understand that social support is necessary, but you can still get it without necessarily being emotionally dependent. And you know, Amy, and we're going to talk about it a little bit in relationships, because in relationships that can be too clingy. But what do you think in regards to emotional dependence and reducing stress and promotes your own happiness?
I feel like this really develops in your teenage years, you know, when you want to be socially accepted and that your emotions are playing a role in a lot of our decisions. You know, and like in, as you go into your adulthood, your emotions are going to play a role in, you know, relationships like domestic violence. You know, our emotions tend to play, sometimes can play a role when we get ourselves in these situations. So I think when we have emotional independence, we're able to separate, you know, your heart and your head. You're able to separate, you have these feelings, but you're able to understand where they're coming from. And that's really, really important. Especially going into adulthood.
Mm-hmm. That is true. And, you know, Amy, we talk about emotional maturity. And part of being independent is being mature within your emotions. And I always tell individuals, don't make a decision based on your emotions, because your feelings can change and your thoughts. Because sometimes we talk about emotions. Some individuals have just distorted thoughts. They thoughts be all over the place. And it's not independent. It's like, okay, so focus, calm down, think about what you want to do, how you want to do it. And individuals can struggle with that, especially when we're talking about their happiness. Now, the next one is financial independence. Now, financial independence means a freedom and sense of accomplishment. Now, it doesn't just mean just all about just money or having a lot of money, because when it comes to personal independence, there is no satisfaction comparable to the ability to pay your own bills. My mother used to say, I pay the cost to be the boss, you know, or when in Rome, do as in Rome, or pay your own way. But being able to pay your way through life reduces dependence on your parents, friends, spouse, or whichever person you lean on. Now, some individual, Amy, you know, they like people to be dependent upon them financially. I know. They get on my nerves. If you want to piss me off, ask me for some money. Ask me for some money or ask me for my food. I'll be like, uh-uh. So by the same token, you know, you want to make sure, and I also found that when we talk about financial independence, that means that you control your income and your expenditures, and you are not answerable to nobody. But by the same token, you still, again, Amy, you got to have that balance.
Absolutely. That balance is huge. I thought you covered exactly what I was saying. I was just trying to say that mental maturity is the perfect way to describe it. And that's all, you know, it all plays a role. You have to release the leash as your kids get older. And that's really hard for some people.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Amy, even when we're talking about financial independence, part of that, and going back to teenagers, which is where you're talking about with the emotions, is when kids start learning or they start working and earning money at the same time, and you teach them how to handle their finances, that teaches them and it prepares them for life in regards to knowing how you don't waste money, save, you know, make investments. I admire kids that go out and will work. You know, nowadays you don't see kids talking about, you know, ma'am, can I cut your grass or can I take out your trash? They don't do that anymore like they used to years ago. Some people still teach their kids how to do those things or encourage that, and some don't. You know, we have a lot of kids that have, and even young adults, they have a sense of entitlement. And I have to tell them sometimes that's your parents' money. That is not your money. Because they become so financially dependent upon their parents that they don't do anything for themselves. And the more you learn to become financially independent, the less stress you may have in your life as you are more in control of your financial outcome. And I'm not saying that I think ask your parents for help, but by that same token, you shouldn't always run to them every time you get caught up in a situation because you did what you wanted to do with your money.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's different today too because, you know, we see so much danger and evil out in the world, like having your kids walk up and down the street, walking people's dogs, they're like out on their own. I think a lot of parents, you know, are a lot more protective these days over their kids, but there's other ways to go about that. Like, I remember we all had chores in the house and that, you know, was contributing to the household and all those held us accountable, and that's going to help me or helped me now living on my own. You know, I have to pick up after myself. But other people, like I've had roommates that had housekeepers, and they are not great roommates because they are very messy. So that's, you have to realize that all comes from, let's learn behavior.
Correct. Correct. And that is true. Another thing with being independent, Amy, is better decision making. Being independent makes decision making an easy task. This is because you have proven to yourself that you are the only person that will be able to, that will really be affected by the decisions you make. And on the other hand, being dependent on other people for emotional or financial support makes it difficult to make clear and appropriate decisions. This is because you will always have to stop and think about how the other person will be affected and how they will react to your decision. Whereas it is a good idea to consider other people while making decisions, but being scared to make choices and fear of upsetting others will hold you back greatly. And, you know, and a lot of times individuals have difficulties making decisions because they're not used to function independently. Now, when we're talking about a relationship, yes, some decisions should be made mutual, and you want to make sure that you're not in control of everything because, again, it goes back to balance. But you should not be able to not make a decision because you are depending on someone else. Now, if you want to call in because you have something you want to share or you have any questions for Amy, myself, or Michelle, give us a call at 516-387-1914. Now, Amy, going through this list, another thing it talks about is personal improvement and creativity. The idea of setting independence as a goal can be a great boost on multiple aspects of your life. Emotional independence, for example, improves your personal relationships with other individuals. You know, you don't get as angry, overexcited, your mood swings decrease and so on, because having a free and independent mind gives you the freedom to explore your skills and talent and will ultimately bring out the best in you because you feel you can be independent. We used to call it being a free thinker. Any comments, Amy?
Free thinker. No, but that's powerful. I think that, you know, especially in middle school, you have a lot of followers. Are you a follower or a leader? I remember being asked that all the time in school. And I was like, I don't know. It depends on the situation. So, like, in a group project, like, I could step up and be the leader if no one else is there, but honestly, I prefer just to do my part and move on. So, I think it varies for each person, and that's hard for some people. Some people have to be in control, and other people don't know how to be in control.
Correct. Correct. And another thing it talks about is it broadens your horizons, because to be more independent means that you are prepared to be free and meet new people and try new things, and also self-value and self-esteem. Independence can help increase your self-value and self-esteem, more so if becoming independent is one of your goals. You know, when we talk about that. Now, Amy, I want to switch it a little bit because we talk about relationships, and if you are in a relationship with someone who struggles with being independent or is needy, and they how do you think that can impact your relationship?
Oh, wow. I mean, tremendously. You're going to scare people away by being too needy, but you can also scare people away by being distant. You know, that was really hard for me to show that I needed somebody, which was damaging to the relationship. So I think being too independent, like we talked about, is going to scare people away. But being needy is huge because you become obsessive almost. Like you need that person there or you need to talk to them all the time, and it's unhealthy. And people can't feel like they have to fix you, like there's something wrong with you, and you can't fix that. That's something within mm-hmm. you. You have to, it's like a lack of confidence in a relationship.
And you know what, Amy? And it's very difficult to be in a relationship with a person that struggles with self-identity, self-esteem, and issues, because that right there, I don't have that kind of patience. I really don't, you know. Now, I want to give the listeners some information, and it talks about 7 signs your partner isn't independent enough for you. And I want to say that there is always somebody for everybody. But by that same token, if you are independent and you don't want to get caught up in codependency issues, you want to find someone that you are equally yoked with. I was talking and listening to a person the other day, and he was sharing how, you know, a lot of females are not as bold as men. And I was sharing that some men still like the hunt and the chase. They don't care for aggressive women. And a lot of men struggle with independent women, too, because I know in a lot of my relationships and marriages, that was an issue because they felt that I was too independent. And it wasn't that I was trying to be too independent. I just don't like relying on anyone or dependent on anyone. And like I said, I had a daughter that in a heartbeat figured out. And I watched my mother as being a single mother do a lot of things. So I would just never, I didn't like asking people to do things for me. But when we're talking about a relationship, and we're talking about 7 signs your partner isn't independent enough for you, for the most part, people need people. We really do. You know, I had a friend, and he was sharing how, and I shouldn't say my friend because I'm mad at him right now. He was saying how his son was telling him 1 is a lonely number. And that's true when you're all by yourself. Now, even though we need people, depends on the persons in the equation or what's going on in our lives. So no man is an island. And it's not, that's just not how we are wired. But while needing people and even being dependent on another person is human nature, but dependency can reach unhealthy extremes. Individuals can become codependent on their partner or anyone for that matter. It can be exhausting, not just for you, but also for that partner. And you know, Amy, that's a turnoff for me. It really is. Now, in other cases, one can find themselves in a relationship that is free of codependency, but there's still dependency, independency, inequality. And if you are perfectly comfortable going out by yourself any night in a week and doing things by yourself, that is fine, Amy. That's not a problem. But when we start talking about when a person becomes too independent, so I want to give you some information, and we're going to brainstorm on this a little bit. The first thing it talks about is your partner turns to their parent for help a little bit too often. If you're dating somebody and every time they got to make a decision, they got to call their parents, how would you handle that, Amy?
Oh, man. I would not handle that. I'm just kidding. I mean, I would have a talk with them and maybe ask why. You know, it's always important to ask why. We forget that. It's really important to figure out why someone does something. Do they feel like they have to do something? Certain things like that. And then talk to them and see if they lack that sense of independence. You know, and then if they continue to do that, then, you know, get out, because you don't do that.
Say get out. But you know what, too, Amy, sometimes they want their parents, or they're still seeking their parents' approval. And that could be a whole nother issue, because people don't realize how childhood issues can play a role in their adulthood. And, you know, turning to your parents for help sometimes can hardly be considered dependent. But if you're doing it all the time and every decision they got to go run to mommy and run to daddy, like you said, that can be a problem. The next one where your partner may not be independent enough for you, your partner can't manage stress. Now, while no one will ever say that it's easy not to freak out sometimes, but if your partner falls apart at the earliest signs of distress, you know, whether it's, you know, they're in a bad mood or whatever the case may be, you got to watch. You know, I like how T.D. Jakes, number one T.D. Jakes, it was Triple Dollar. He said, before you marry somebody, you want to see what they act like when they mad, when they happy, when they got money, and when they broke. So you know exactly what that look like. So if you're dealing with a person and your partner can't manage stress, that could be a red flag, Amy. Any comments?
Oh, I am not a pretty person when I'm stressed out. When school overwhelms me, my mom cancels family dinners because I'm just so mean. But that's huge, because the way other people handle you is important. And I can see when my stress levels get really high, I just get very irritable. And so I don't blame my mom for that, because she knows that she can't help me right now other than delivering food to my house, rather than taking up my time from writing papers. So she handles it very well, and I appreciate that. And so if my significant other, the way he handles stress, if he gets upset, you know, if he gets really mad if he's upset, then that's something that needs to be addressed. Because people can change, and sometimes people don't realize how they're acting. I didn't realize how irritable I got until, you know, I had a boyfriend, because my mom's a lot nicer to me than some, or like my roommate. You know, other people will point it out to me, because family doesn't always see that, you know, or they're nicer about it than your peers.
Right.
So people can change, and once you realize how you act, you can alter that and be a better person. Because it's not like I'm never going to get stressed, but I can handle it differently or use my words and let people know, communicate that I'm stressed out.
Correct. And again, if your partner is not independent enough for you, another area of concern besides the stress, Amy, is your partner creates unnecessary drama. Now, I've dealt with some people that be like, ooh, for real, they go really go there. If you're dealing with someone that just create unnecessary drama, meaning they're so used to their life just being so chaotic that they want people to fix it all the time for them, that's red flags. That's the problem. You know, because, you know, we used to have the saying, say the drama for your mama, so that makes a whole lot of sense now. But if you got a partner who creates drama to get help instead of rising to the occasion or giving a problem a shot on their own, you may be with someone who's probably not independent. You know, so the drama, how do you handle that, Amy, if you're dealing with a person that constantly creates unnecessary drama?
In my life? At this point in my life, I can't have unnecessary drama because I have so much on my plate. So if I bring that up to them and they still continue to do that, right now I'll be there for them, but I can't be there for them. So it's just better if it's going to change the vibe and the mood and make it very negative. Right now I have to keep them at arm's distance, because I got to keep pushing forward right now. So that's how I handle when people have unnecessary drama, because – at this point in my life, there's no time for that. How do you handle drama?
You know, Amy, since you guys tell me about ghosting, I separate myself. I talk to individuals in a calm voice, and what happens is they think that I'm playing therapist on them or I'm psychoanalyzing them, and it's not that. It's just that I deal with issues all day long. I don't want to come home or have to deal with stuff like that in my personal life. I don't have time for that. It's just too much. It's overwhelming. Now, one of the things I did, and, you know, I used to do with my friend in Mississippi, and I kind of pissed him off when I used to do that. I would send him articles or I would give him reading material, and that would piss him off because, but I found that if he read something and it wasn't something that I said, he would take it more at face value than me trying to engage in a conversation with him. And then what he would do is he'll send me my articles back. I didn't know. I'd be like, wait a minute. He would play tag, going back and forth with freaking sending text messages back and forth, which he was doing this weekend, too, trying to drive me crazy. But then I had to realize it was something that I had said to him, and I had not mentioned it to him because I don't talk to him all the time. He was like, I hate when you do this to me, because when I get him to think, it drives him nuts. Now, so when we talk about this unnecessary drama, but you know what, Amy, too, sometimes I find that some individuals create unnecessary drama just to get attention. And they try to test to see if you care about them. And that's so not necessary.
Right.
That drives me insane. But, I mean, sometimes that's when that could be a red flag in your relationship that you've become distant or you got caught up in work or other priorities or you have kids and you forget to work on your relationship. So that might be like, if it's a regular thing, then, yeah, that should be addressed. But also you should check yourself. You know, because maybe they aren't feeling the love.
Correct. Well, but then, Amy, too, you told me to start saying things. Look, I ran the man off. I said, he was like, wait a minute, that, something wrong. This is free. Tell me how you feel. Okay, yeah, then I got ghost. Another one is, so your partner can't roll solo. Amy, that's a big one. And you normally see this when you're younger, you know, your partner come over, he always got his friends, or, you know, you're a female, you always take your friends over there. But if you got a partner who's uncomfortable going places by themselves, you may be with someone who's not independent enough for you. And the extreme behavior is not wanting to go anywhere alone, whether it's a doctor's appointment, a business trip, or even shopping. This is the person who have to have someone with them all the time. Amy, have you ever been in a situation like that where no matter where they were, they always had to have somebody else with them?
I have a friend like that, but I've never been with somebody romantically like that because, for me, I like my alone time. So I can't have somebody with me all the time because I would go crazy. I think you would go crazier than I would.
Yeah, I would. I can't. I ain't got time for that. Another one is your partner can't make decisions for themselves, meaning, like you said, it's one thing to call a friend or family member for input, but every time a decision needs to be made, your partner has to turn at least half a dozen friends to see what they would do in the same situation. You know, we talked about that a little bit, so we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on that. And your partner avoids rocking the boat. You know, a lot of times with striving to be independent, you got to be out there and you got to, you know, let your yes be yes, your no's be no's. And sometimes you may piss other people off, but it's a decision that you made and that you can live with. But if you are afraid of upsetting others or you're afraid that other individuals are not going to agree with you, that could be a problem, Amy. It could be a big problem. Any comments on that? Afraid to rock the boat.
Oh, yeah, rocking the boat is huge. A lot of people just want to go with the flow. They don't want to say, you know, they become very passive-aggressive or just passive. They don't say what they're feeling, and then they're unhappy in the relationship. And, you know, that maybe they just become more dependent or only one person makes decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they never, like, where do you want to go to eat? And only one person makes decisions. That's all going to create a toxic relationship and decrease your independence.
Ooh, Abby, as soon as you said, the first thing I thought about is when you asked the person, what do you want to go eat? I don't know. What you want to do today? I don't know. I'd be like, well, what the hell do you know? I'd be crazy. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. I'm like, I'm asking you to get, so you could be creative, you know, and then I'll just say, surprise me, you know. Wow. Another thing is you're truly baffled by how your partner deals or don't deal with things. You know, that's another one, Amy, too, is because sometimes I know, like my son, My son, girl, I used to think he'd just be in La La Land. He'd be like, oh, it's okay. Oh, it's going to get better. But you're not doing anything. How's it going to get better if you're not doing anything? You know? So that's another one, too, is people think everything is just going to go away. It's just going to just a daydreamer. You know, they can't do things on their own, and they just daydream. Now, another one, when we're talking about being independent and, you know, talking about they can't do things on their own, is, you know, when we're talking about this independence is when they always make excuses, Amy, for why they can't do anything, or my mom used to do this for me, or my dad did this for me. And it's like, okay, so what are you going to do on your own? And do you know a lot of times individuals, Amy, don't even realize that it may be that time?
I mean, people that are Debbie Downers like that drive me insane. I'm just like, people that, like, a lot of that has to come, I think from my perspective, it comes with goal setting. You know, here's the goal, how are you going to get there? And a lot of people don't, they have this goal in their head, but like you said, they just are daydreamers. They just let time pass, and they don't actually make or actively try to achieve that goal. And that's when they become like, oh, I can't do it. Oh, I don't know. Or like 10 years later, they're still all bummed out, and they don't, their goal is still, they're still daydreaming because they never actively made moves in that direction.
That is true.
My cousin was like that, you know. My cousin was a daydreamer, you know. That's all the time. He comes up with new things, and you know, he doesn't do anything about it or whatever, you know.
Amy, my godbrother go send me a text about what you gonna do with that ground meat, because I took some ground beef out of the refrigerator a couple of days ago, and I haven't been able to cook because my hand hurt. I said, make us a hamburger. So I'm going to tell them to make it. Say you can make it. You know, and the thing is, Amy, and like I said, a lot of times, and we always talk about on the show, when you know better, you do better. And, oh, he's talking about like a hamburger helper. Ugh. A hamburger helper. Okay, but I guess he is being independent, so I guess I'll let him go and make hamburger helper. So when we talk about independent or becoming independent, Amy, what is the first step? And you talked about goal setting. What can we do to try to help individuals to what can we do to help individuals to strive towards becoming or doing something to be first? Because before you can change anything, you first have to become aware of it. But what are some of the steps that we can do to help individuals become more independent?
Identify a goal, but make sure it's a reasonable goal. And actually have active steps to get to that goal.
Yeah. I was going to put laughing at my old stepbrother. He said, my godmother, he said, wait a minute, I'm going to read to you what he just said to me. And I know he know I'm on the radio, sucker. He goes up there and say, because he's talking about hamburger helper. He said, you don't like hamburger helper? For somebody that eats everything, you don't eat everything. I don't dog on hamburger helper.
Wow.
Okay. So, like you said, part of it is acknowledging it. Part of it is also wanting to change, wanting to strive towards the autonomy. You know, I always tell individuals, if your parents die, what you going to do? You know, if that person leaves you tomorrow, what are you going to do? You know, you have to learn how to be resilient. So when we start talking about that, so how to become more independent, you first, like I said, you mentioned, Amy, set goals. Can you tell the listeners what do you mean by that?
When I said what?
When you were talking about setting goals, can you tell the listeners what do you mean by that?
Oh, I mean like a SMART goal, specific, manageable, or measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. So you have to have short-term goals, long-term goals, and have steps on how you're going to get there. You know, if you want to go on a trip in the fall, how much money do you have to save every week? You know, there's more steps than just, like, dreaming about it. You have to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said about that in regards to that, Amy, because when we start talking about becoming more independent, you got to also get to know yourself. You can't be independent if you don't know who you are. So you got to know you and challenge your beliefs and assumptions, meaning observe your beliefs and be willing to question them. Why do you think this way? Why do you? I used to tell my sister when she was to tell me what she can't do, I used to say, well, if you can't do it, what makes you think I can't? So another thing is become assertive. And by becoming assertive, you know, you learn how to be firm and but fair, but you also learn how to use your words and become more, not aggressive, but to the point to where you're willing to try to get things done. And start making your own decisions. I always tell kids, Amy, especially because you know I like working with children that have behavior problems, and if they tell me I did it because I wanted to, I will respect that versus I did it because so-and-so told me to or because they asked me to do it. No, if you wanted to do it, just say you wanted to do it. And meet your needs. A lot of times we be so busy trying to make other people happy, we forget about ourselves and learn to soothe yourself. Amy, I don't think there's nothing more important than to make yourself happy. Any comments in regards to that, Amy?
Yeah, but we always talk about how happiness isn't a place, you know, it's something you have to make. It's within yourself. So you have to figure out what makes you happy and why you're not happy right now.
Correct. Correct. And you know what, Amy, a lot of times we be so busy blaming it on other people, we don't want to accept responsibilities for it. And not only accepting responsibilities, accept yourself. We start talking about accepting yourself. You cannot build a strong, independent you if you can't live with yourself. Sometimes we got to accept our body, our personality, our opinion, our choices, our preferences, you know, and do not say things against yourself. Positive affirmation, Amy, a lot of times people don't realize the power of words. I just got blowed up on my thing. What do you think about positive affirmation?
I think they are extremely, extremely powerful, and they've been shown to work. And, you know, if you want to wear something, wear it. You know, if you want to do something, then do it. So I think that all comes from independence, is just doing what you want to do when you want to do it.
Mm-hmm. That is true. That is so true. Oh, God. I have to sit up here multitasking, sending text messages and all of this stuff. People want to fight with me. I was like, I ain't got that kind of energy. So, yeah, baby, that is. I like what you said in regards to that, in regards to accepting yourself, also believing in yourself, because, like I said, words are powerful. And we have to accept the world. Independent people are not vain, nor do they believe in the entire human race is cruel. But independent people are those who see the world with its good and its bad, because, Amy, we got to balance that out. Because sometimes we get so caught up to, we just, you know, like you talk about the Debbie Downer and things of that nature, but we got to be able to, like I said, accept the world and be emotionally independent. And we'll, like I said, we talked about that a little bit, and be self-motivated. Amy, let's talk about being self-motivated. What do you think about that?
Self-motivation, I'm going to tie it back to goals, because if you're motivated to have a goal, you're going to get there. I think a lot of people lack self-motivation. They get caught up in what ifs or I can't, and or this is a priority. So I think goals is where it starts to develop, you know, self-motivation. You have to have a goal in order to get there, so you're going to be motivated to get there.
Mm-hmm. And you got to remember, when you become self-motivated or being self-motivated, other people do not have or will never have the same vested interest in your success. A lot of times we are so busy and so caught up in wanting people to pat us on the back, wanting people to tell us that we did a good job. We got to learn how to be our own hero. And we got to also learn that everybody is not going to go with you. I always say, if you can't grow with me, you can't go with me. And that's okay. It don't mean nothing good, nothing bad. It's just that everybody is not for you. So if you find someone that's trying to rain on your parade or put you down or things of that nature, just remember to believe in yourself. And another thing is also, Amy, when we talk about becoming independent, we got to accept that life is not always fair. Our parents cared for us as much as they did or tried to do the best that they could in all fairness, the environment, but don't let the unfairness of the world keep you from doing what you want to do. If you want to be a nurse or do whatever you want to do in life, Amy, I always say just do it, just go for it. You know I do a whole lot of stuff. I become up with these little bright ideas, and I'll be like, okay, Amy, this is what we're going to do. And don't just think that you're the best. Prove it to yourself. Amy, anything you want to give the listeners before we end the show?
But not everything is self or instant gratification. You know, some things take work to get there. So you have to have patience with yourself and believe in yourself. And
right.
You will develop independence.
Right. And you know what, Amy? And I want to say also, failure is not a bad thing. Sometimes people give up when they fail. Failure shouldn't have anything to do with your independence because failure can be part of your success. If you didn't do it right the first time, try it again. Don't give up if it don't look like it's going your way. So I want to thank you for joining us here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Tomorrow, in addition to talking about independence, we're going to be talking about free will. So I got to go find me a pastor, somebody help join me on that topic, as we're talking about free will and freedom, freedom from sin, freedom from choices, freedom, because a lot of us are still living in bondage. We still feel trapped, but we do have a source of free will. So I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. And until tomorrow or next week, remember, you got this. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate you, too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.